Good to be with you again. It's been a while. My name is David Dolbor. I'm an associate member of the Terwilliger clan because I work. That's a joke for the old timers here. Right? So I serve with David Terwilliger at All Saints Episcopal Church in town. And so I retired and then I started doing this. In the Bible study I teach on Tuesday nights, we've been reading through the Gospel of Luke. And the passage that we have for this morning is what we'd be preaching on there this morning. When Chuck asked me to come and preach here, I thought, well, I should find some appropriate verse. But then I looked at this one and thought, David, don't run away from this one. This is a good one. So let's pray before we turn to the scriptures. Almighty God, we thank you, God, we give for the gift of this day and how by your graciousness, the sun has brought light to this world and warmth to our lives. And we thank you that in Christ Jesus, your life has shone upon all of us and drawn us towards you. We ask now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these words of his would come alive to us, that we might hear them, that we might bring them into our hearts, and that with his words burning in us, we might be on fire for you. We offer you this prayer and our lives in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you turn with me, if you have a Bible, to Luke chapter 6. I'll be starting with verse 27. As Luke is telling the story of Jesus, you know, Jesus has just begun his ministry. He's been up on the mountain. He's gathered 12 disciples and come down. He's spoken the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit. And he continued this way, beginning on the 27th verse. But I say to you that here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But you love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, for you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the grateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, as hard as it may be to hear. So when Jesus came down from the mountain, Luke tells us, he came down and people began gathering around him because St. Luke says, the crowd tried to get as close to him as they could because power went out of him and healed. And he healed them all. So no wonder the crowd came, huh? The story is they gathered everybody they knew who was sick, who needed healing. People had demons. They brought them as close as they could to Jesus because somehow just being close to him was enough for them to be made whole. So small wonder that there was a big crowd that followed him around. But as Jesus did his healing, he also spoke. And so if you had gone to Jesus to be in the crowd hoping to be healed, and you were getting closer, you could also hear what he was saying. And he spoke these words. And I wonder how they sounded to those folks who had come from healing, to those peasants, those poor fishermen, those people who lived in the little villages around Palestine and Judea. I wonder how these words sounded to them. For one, they were not like us. They were almost all of them poor. And the way we would talk about poor, they were really poor. I don't think any one of us is going to worry about what we eat tonight or maybe tomorrow. But for people at that time, it was a daily wonder. You know, will there be a catch? And there was no one to pick you up if somehow you fell, except your family. And they lived in a country that was their own. They had lived there forever, it seemed. But it had been empire after empire that had come and been on top of them. You know, the Babylonians, then the Persians, then the Greeks, now the Romans. And when they walked around their country, when they went looking to find this man Jesus, wherever he was preaching and teaching, they couldn't help but see that, yes, there was some new construction going on, but it was all the Romans building stuff, their fancy cities. They hired people, builders, maybe like Jesus, to go and work and build their fancy cities, but they lived poor. And though it was the land that they had lived in a big sense, it was not their own because of the Romans who were there, and then Herod, who was their front man, King Herod. So when they heard these words about love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, they had experience and faces to go with each of those. There would not have been anyone who heard these words of Jesus that had not experienced exactly that. About being abused. You remember the stories of John the Baptist, the preaching of John the Baptist? People flocked to John the Baptist because he was on fire for the Lord, and they thought, I guess the kingdom of God is coming right today. I better go get right with God. And they went to hear John the Baptist, and they said, well, what shall we do? And there were tax collectors who came. They were the ones who worked for the Romans. He said, don't take any more than you're supposed to. Okay. Well, that meant I collect taxes for nothing, which is not the kind of job I'm looking for. There were Herod's boys, those soldiers who came. Said, what do we do? He said, don't shake down anybody. Because that's how soldiers got their stuff. You know, they got paid meals and salt. But the people who were there listening to Jesus, they had all seen Herod's guys walking down the road, looking to what they had. If you had a chicken and they wanted it, it was theirs. That was the world of these people who were listening to Jesus preach and teach. And how would it have sounded to them? This business about forgiving and about praying for them, praying for these people who abuse us. What a hard word to hear. And then to go on and talk about being merciful and to forgive and to give to everyone who begs. And if somebody takes your coat, that would be one of Herod's boys. You know, the law back then was that if somebody owed you money and you needed to take something, you know, as collateral, yeah, you could take their coat, but not overnight because people just had one. These are the folk who are listening to Jesus say these words. And so when Jesus says to them, and if somebody comes and wants to take your coat, give him your shirt too, what could they have been thinking? Or perhaps they were saying, what can he be thinking? Now what Luke tells us is that there were many people who listened and heard these words of Jesus, but there were not a lot who followed him because of the words. People followed him because they could be healed. But what they heard, what people would say when they listened to his preaching was things like this. This is too hard. Yeah? Where does this guy get this stuff? Yeah? This may be for the saints, but it's not for me. And so as Jesus went on in his ministry, what we see in the Gospels. He would come into a place, he would heal, he would teach, and people would hear. Some might be offended, but people did not follow him and say, I want to live like that. There were the 12 disciples. They followed him. Apparently, Jesus had some great call on their hearts and their minds, so they couldn't leave him, even though what we know is they really didn't get it. Right? They were the ones who always misunderstood and who were always looking for somehow to be things to be turned around. You know, instead of forgiving, they wanted to call down fire from heaven on villages that didn't welcome them. See, like they hadn't quite heard the word yet. Okay. That is the story of Jesus' ministry, as the Gospels give it to us. Of this Jesus who people didn't quite recognize. They wondered, is he a prophet? He had this power to heal that drew people. Wouldn't it draw you or me? And he had these words to speak that on the one hand could sound as sweet as honey, but then when you thought about him, thought, but for me? And by the time Jesus' ministry is over, there's nobody left. There's the 12. And we know how that story goes. And as Easter is coming in the next month or so, we'll hear that story again. But during his earthly ministry, these words that Jesus preached hung in the air, but they were not embraced by very many. And I think we can all understand why. Now, after Easter, things seem to have changed. There's the whole story of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then people thinking about Jesus and hearing, well, he was more than just a prophet. I guess he really was this Son of God that he talked about. And he's still here somehow. And I guess if he was saying those kind of words, that it wasn't just somebody giving advice, he was really trying to give us something. And those first Christians, the first ones like who read the letters of St. Paul, they remembered these words of Jesus preaching. And they tried to live them. They didn't hear it as just advice that he had given for, you know, if you live this, you know, if you live this way, you know, you'll be successful. That was not the preaching of Jesus. The preaching of Jesus was this: if you live like this, you'll be like my Father who is in heaven. If you start treating people the way God has treated you, that will be a great blessing to you. And so those early Christians remembered these words. These were one of the first things that people wrote down about the preaching of Jesus to remember them, was this kind of preaching. And when they tripped up, well, maybe you've read the letter of Corinthians where Paul is writing to them. He said, and some of you are going to court with each other and suing each other? Why not just be wrong? Yeah. Why not just be wrong? Let it go. Or in the Acts of the Apostles, in those first days after Pentecost, when these new converts, 3,000, 4,000 people are coming together, what are they doing with all their stuff? They're just bringing it all and pooling it. They weren't becoming communists. They were becoming Godists. They said, you know, what I've got belongs to God. You know, so here we are. We're going to do it together. They gave. They didn't nickel and dime. They went beyond tithing. They just gave the stuff. It was very unlike the way people lived in their time or in our time. The way these Christians lived, and as they started living into being Christian, living into being the body of Christ, living into trying to live by love and not by the ways of the world, the way they lived started looking less and less like the world around them. And what we know from people who wrote about the Christians from the year 100 or 200, the Roman governors who talked about them, other people, but there are peculiar things about these Christians that really set them apart and were puzzling as well. One of the things that was said about Christians was this: see how they love one another. Now, we sang Happy Birthday enough times here But I think there's no shortage of love, you know, in this congregation. So we'll talk about other churches, all right? Other churches where there are church fights, not like at your annual meeting, right? Yeah. You certainly have heard about that, right? How Christians can be with one another. Yeah. Well, one of the remarkable things that for the Romans, looking at this little group, Christians, I think they call themselves, was that they really care for one another. It's just amazing. But what became even more striking was that they cared for others. They cared for others. And that became their way of life. So in my garage at home, right over my workbench, I have this picture of an old cowboy. Right? He has seen a lot. And he's worn out. And the line that's underneath him on this picture is this: there are a heck of a lot of things about this outfit that they did not tell me when I signed on. Right? Okay. The Christians in those first years were determined that you not be surprised by what you were signing on to. And so if you want to join the church, if you felt called by Christ, if you'd had some sort of spiritual experience, if you'd responded to preaching and been baptized, if an angel had come and talked to you, it didn't matter what, and you came to Valley Church, they would say, well, we're really, really glad you're here. Now, you just need to live with us for a year or two or three to understand what this is all about. Most places in those early churches, it took a year if you were going to join a church. And you had to kind of apprentice. Some people would actually go and live with a family because you needed to learn what it was and how it was to live as one of Christ's people, to start putting away those habits of the world outside and to start living by this thing where, well, you know, we are pretty quick to condemn and judge in our world today, right? That's what the media teaches us to do. That's, we know who's in and who's out. Well, how long would it take me to unlearn that? A year would be not enough, I think, but I'd get a start. The mindset of those early Christians was that if you're going to become one of Christ's, then the way you live is going to be really different. And you need to know about it ahead of time. So you don't turn around afterwards and be, well, nobody told me this. Mm-hmm. Here is one of the things that these early Christians did that the Romans looked at and they didn't understand. Who's here? I can talk about this. In the Roman world, it was common, if you had a child you didn't want, a baby, it was called exposing it. It meant you put in the dump and walked away. It happened all the time in those cities. In the dump or in the latrine. And what the Christians were noted of doing was every day going to the dump and looking in the ditch to see if they could find that newborn child that nobody had wanted. And they would pick up that child and take it home and make it their own. Or if it died, they would bury it. And there were people who grew up and were buried later, and what we read on their gravestones from their names is that they were one of those rescue babies. That's what the style of life to be a Christian for them. So that verse we call the golden rule and say it so easily, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They tried to live it. And they were in a community where they expected that of each other. This is hard to do on your own. You know, you really need help and encouragement. And if you're like me, you need a Dutch uncle to remind you every once in a while that, David, you signed on for something different than the way you're living. We signed on to be the people of forgiveness because, David, remember, the one who gave us these words is the one who is the great forgiveness. It's not like this is something we have to try to do on our own. This has already been done for me and for you. What is it that somebody could possibly do to me that would require from me a greater forgiveness than what God in Christ has already done for me? What mercy could I possibly ask to show to somebody that is anywhere near the mercy that God in Christ has already shown all of us? That was their perspective. That was their mindset. These words of Jesus, they heard not as advice for successful living. No, these are the words that you live because you've been made alive. We're called to forgive because we've been forgiven and we know what it feels like. We're called to be merciful because we've tasted it. We're called to give because so much has already been given to us. We're called to be, well, the kingdom of God. You know that word, kingdom of God. And even in Jesus' time, there were people who were kind of expected it was going to be a geographical thing, right? We're finally going to have the God zone. And the Messiah is going to come and kick out all the bad guys and bring in the people who only sing my kind of hymns and who use my version of the Bible, right? That everything will be, that was kind of a joke, right? Kind of a joke. People were expecting that. The great surprise of Jesus was when he said, but the kingdom of God is in between you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is where you're supposed to live, because the kingdom of God, you know, it's not the draw line on the map. It's the, where is God in charge? You know, where are God's values being lived out? Who's doing it? And what Jesus preached and what he called people to do and what they were slow to understand was they were supposed to live it out as though it was true. Now, the world back then was very hostile to the gospel, but the world that you and I live on is just as hostile. And human nature has not changed much in the past 2,000 years. I'm confident of that. And the ways that you and I get formed and trained by the culture we live in, I would not call godly, right? I was thinking particularly these verses about not condemning and not judging and thinking, you know, the whole business enterprise of our media is built on condemning and judging, right? Because every day I get shown the bad guys and I'm a good guy, right? And I cheer and I click and they get their ad money or however this works. We're just conditioned to think of the world that way. Jesus says, David, David. God chose not to look at you that way. So what kind of life has he given you? These were the words that Jesus gave to his people who heard him. These are the words that he continues to give to us, the ones. These are words that are hard to live. They're hard to live especially because I don't want to let go of the way I've made my life and put it together. You know? I know how to live in this world. Right? I'm a tough enough guy. I'm a smart enough guy. I saved up and I'm careful and I watch people's backs and I take care of my own. And I think most of us here are just the same. You know, it's like the school of hard knocks. Jesus says, David, the school of hard knocks is going to take you one place only, the grave. And you don't have to die to get there. But the life that Christ Jesus came to offer you and to me, this life that is abundant and this life that is everlasting and however we want to dress up the words, is one that is bigger than that. A life that is not defined by who you condemn and who you can't forgive and who you're too careful about and the stuff that you hang on to. My goodness, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. It's the kind of thing that you can only do with prayer and with a bunch of people around you. See, but now, asking Jesus to teach you to pray, that's like the halibut asking you to put the hook in his mouth, right? Because when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Remember how that worked? How did that turn out for them? Right? How does that turn out for us? He said, pray like this. You know this one, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What comes next? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That means in me. That's not make it happen around me like I was at Disneyland. No. Teach us to pray. Says, pray like this. Thy kingdom, kingdom means rule. You be in charge. You be in charge with me. And your will is what I'll do. But what is that? It's right here in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, right? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. It is tough. And I don't know anyone who can do it on their own. And I am not here to shake my finger at anyone. But I'm saying one of the real challenges of being a Christian in our age or any other one is that Jesus calls us to be different than the world we live in. Thanks be to God. You know, Paul in his letter to the Galatians, right at the beginning, he says, Christ came into this world to save us from this world of evil and death, right? Well, he did. And then what do? He sent us out in that same world. He said, now you go be my folks there, right? To be the folks of Jesus in this world means to not play by the rules of this world. And it is tough. Only by prayer. So in my prayers, my wife and I say prayers every night. We always end with the Lord's Prayer. And I tell you, every once in a while, it's pretty convicting. Sometimes I can be going fast. You know how to say the Lord's Prayer fast? You say it fast and you get to the end, you know, amen right away. Okay. There are times when you go along and I get to, and thy will be done. And it's as though I should just stop for a little while and have a little talk with Jesus. Or maybe the way the Bible class, the Sunday school class said, maybe I should have a little listen with Jesus, right? Or maybe there's another part of my life I need to lay on the altar in front of Jesus and say, Lord, help me with this. Or how could I have done this? I've known so well. Only with prayer and only in community, I'm convinced. Yeah. You know, my worst self is a lone wolf. I'm really good at it. Okay. That's a terrible Christian, right? Just me and God. You know, resist that notion. You really need the fellowship. You really need the brothers and sisters who can understand the struggle. So when you're just stuck, we've all been stuck, right? We all know these words. We've known them for a long time. When I've carried a grudge, when I've been cheap and stingy, when I've been, far from merciful, right? And look at that. At least I know there are other people in the room who've had the same struggle. Yeah? When somebody has treated me bad, and I know just what to do, no, David, other people have been through this before. And when we come together and we say the Lord's Prayer, we know that, okay, I'm not saying this prayer with a bunch of Pollyannas. You know the story of Pollyanna?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Pollyannas don't make good Christians in one sense. I mean, we're supposed to just believe like children. But when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, it's really good to be in a room of veterans. Yeah. The people who know what it is to live with dirty hands and a troubled heart and not give in. That may be the biggest gift that we can give one another as Christians. And it's part of our witness, is that we encourage one another to not give in. Because these words that Jesus says, they're absolutely true. These are words of life, and they're tough. They're tough. And he knew it. Now, Jesus was the only one who had to go to the cross for the sins of the world. But Jesus certainly knew how hard it is to forgive people who hate you and do you dirt, or to be merciful to people who hardly deserve it, or to be just worried about how you are going to eat next week and hang on. And yet he gave us these words, and they're commandments, not suggestions. Yeah. They're like the Ten Commandments, right? Right. Love your enemies, David. Pray for those who abuse you. Do good. Lend, don't expect to get it back. Remember, David, it's not yours anyhow. And if you live like this, there'll be a blessing. The blessing is this, David, that then you'll be a child of God. That's thy will be done, thy kingdom come. So this morning, as those people who Christ Jesus has called, and I trust that there have been many in this room who've already felt the power of Jesus to heal and to be lifted up, that we hear these words and are reminded that he healed us for a reason, and he called us for a reason, and he died on the cross for a reason. The first reason, just for you and for me, is that we should come alive and not just live for death. The bigger reason is that we could go out into that world that Jesus died for and show people what the kingdom of God is like, what it is when you live by God's word and God's sense. And that we can go out there and be witnesses for Christ. As Paul would say, ambassadors. And say, yeah. In behalf of Christ, I invite you. You can do this too. It's hard. And we do it together. But what we know is this, that it's the only life that matters. And it's the only life that is worth it. And it's a gift to us from God. That's the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Amen.